behind the scenes causing trouble. I'm just going to allow to throw this out now. There is a very good chance that he does something to piss me off tonight. I've already figured that out. I know it.
I'll never do that.
You are just messing and with buttons and just doing making noises in my ear, and I don't know what's going on there already, but I'm just putting it out there now so we can just get ahead of it. That tonight, if things go off the rails, it's your fault, Wes. That's what I've learned.
No.
If we can make that, yeah, no, that's it's definitely going to be the case. We are a week away. Let's count to do the math. 6 days. 6 days away from the NBA draft. I cannot wait for this to be here. I can't. And we're getting into that mud now, the final stretch of lying season. And you see it now. And listen, the Wizards front office is playing the game perfectly. The Wizards front office is doing exactly what they should be doing this time of year. Michael Winger is come out and said very little in interviews, as he should, other than, hey, we want a guy that's going to be great for the team, and these guys are talented at the top, and you get all that, and that's what I want to hear, that's what you should want to hear, that's what everybody should want to hear. There's now more conversations about where they're going to go at number one, and who's talking to who, and who's willing to work out with who, and maybe there's going to be a trade, and oh, the Jazz are jumping in the mix now with reports today that, oh, you know, maybe they're not actually sure that it would take Darren Peterson if he were to fall number two. Maybe it's Cameron Boozer. And it's just, this is what we get this time of year. I am getting more and more confident now, and I've talked about this for weeks, I am getting more and more confident now that Darren Peterson goes number one overall to the Wizards. I'm not saying that that is a guarantee, but what I am saying is the odds, and that not real odds, not going and looking at a sports book and seeing who the favorite is because it's still AJ Tabanza. Because remember, Paolo Banchero went number one to the Magic, and nobody saw that coming until Shams broke it like minutes before the draft, and it was like, where did this come from? So we can get a lot of lies, and behind the scenes, the Wizards are sitting there going, they have no idea what we're going to do. I don't know if that's actually how like Will Dawkins or Michael Winger laugh, but I'm just going to guess and just say that they go, when everybody can't figure out what they're what they're doing. Look, we call it a lying season for a reason. And the more and more that you hear these types of rumors, these types of reports that the Wizards are, you know, maybe looking more into Darren Peterson. Darren Peterson only wants to talk to the Wizards. Oh, but wait, they really like AJ Tabanza too. Hey, maybe a trade would be a possibility here. This is all the stuff that you'd expect. Like we heard it around the Commanders, but obviously it's a little different because they were picking at 7 and they could have gone a million different directions. Different positions, different players, trading up, trading down is more maybe trading down than trading up. For the Wizards, it's pretty simple. It's two players or trading down and probably trading down a spot. That's really what it would be. Now you get a godfather offer, which is the other report that's out there that maybe they'd trade down if they get a godfather offer, which, yeah, and that's such a broad term. We can come up with any different scenario that's there, and we've thrown out the rumors, and we've seen the rumors, and I've seen other ones now with the Jazz that are proposed. ESPN's got one, and you know, Ace Bailey's back in at the 2 pick. That was that rumor that was going around for a while, but then it's like Bub Carrington's throwing into the mix, and then it's the number one pick to the Jazz, and then the 2029 first round pick to the like, this is all you're going to get. When it's all said and done, we're gonna have an answer very shortly. But it really is starting to feel more and more like Darren Peterson could be the guy at number one. And I'm telling you, this kid can play. I know there is all this hype and this love, and it's the big public thing. Everybody wants to just follow the lead. And AJ Tabanza, gotta love AJ Tabanza. And listen, he's really good. But there is an upside to Darren Peterson, and there is a killer instinct with this guy. People talk about this that actually know him, that have coached him. I've had conversations with these people. People use the term Mamba mentality with him, and we don't use that lightly in sports. Like, it means something, right? That's a sacred thing to say about somebody because that's Kobe right there. And look, the Wizards are an organization that's going in the right direction, that's building the right blueprint, the right roster. And if you look over the last couple of seasons, the Wizards have been a really desired spot for young talent, right? Like Alex Saar didn't want to go to Atlanta, didn't want to play for the Hawks, didn't work out for him. They took Zachary Risacher. Thank God, because Alex Saar, I know the foot surgery this offseason, you hope he gets better and he's healthy and he's ready to go at the start of the season, but Alex Saar is the better player. Zachary Risacher went number one overall to the Hawks. and he couldn't even crack the rotation for Atlanta when they were down 61 points at one point to the Knicks in the playoffs. That shows you how far out of the rotation and how far out of favor he's fallen with that organization. One of the worst number one overall picks we've ever had. But it wasn't a deep draft. Then we could go to last year. Ace Bailey did the same thing that Darren Peterson's doing. Nah, I'm not working out for the Jazz. Mm-mm. I want to go to the Wizards. Ace Bailey wanted to go to the Wizards, and there was a lot of hype around him. He had an okay rookie season, but again, 1 year is not enough to judge an entire player's career. But Ace Bailey wanted it. Now, Jazz didn't care. They said, we're going to draft you. You fall to us, we're going to draft you. They drafted him. So could that be the same thing if Darren Peterson does go number two? Or do the Jazz just shock everybody and go Cameron Boozer, which there are obviously ties there with his dad playing for the organization, and I know they're loaded with bigs, but that might be the direction that they end up going, and just throwing a wrench in the entire draft. Look, I will tell you this, the NBA draft has a chance to be completely chaotic in a few days. Completely chaotic, because it's the top of the draft, but then you've got this middle-of-the-pack area here where there's other teams that might want to trade up, like the Thunder. There's teams on the back end, like the Knicks, that might trade one of their picks. What are the Bucks going to do with Giannis? Ja Morant's in the conversation. Now, even Kawhi might get traded by the Clippers. They may gut this thing and start all over, too. And if you're a team that has a bunch of picks that maybe wants to get yourself an established star, this is the draft to do it. And in the same way, the other way around, where if you're a team that's looking to rebuild and you want draft picks and you want some immediate return, you don't want to think about draft picks that are 3 or 4 years down the road, what are you going to do? You want draft picks in this draft, the loaded draft, the deep draft. Now, yes, is there a drop-off, at least in theory, with what we're seeing from maybe the top four picks on down? Sure. But it's also a really deep draft. And there is going to be at least one or two guys, at least, that surprise people that we look back 3 or 4 years from now and go, how did they miss this guy? It happens every year. There's always somebody that falls, there's always somebody that rises, and there's always a surprise. Those are the three things you can guarantee in every single draft class. To a degree, some are extreme, some aren't, but you always have it. NFL's the same way. Reuben Bain, look at Reuben Bain. He fell to 15 to the Bucks. That was a big drop for him. Does he have something to prove now? Again, there's the same thing applies to the NBA draft. It's going to be an S show. I'll tell you what. I think it is going to be, there could be quite a few surprises in this NBA draft coming up in a few days. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Ashew on the Fan. That's not a lie. I'm at Nick Ashew on all the socials. The Jazz are genuinely torn, according to The Athletic, about number two now. See, this is where it's becoming the thing, right? And this, look, I get it, you know, right? I love all this. Like, I know there's a lot of crap we have to sift ourselves through, but, like, this is the most anticipated and hyped NBA draft that we have had in a long, long time. And according to The Athletic, the Jazz are, quote, genuinely torn between A.J. Abanza, Darren Peterson, and Cameron Boozer. I don't believe him for a second. Now, I'm not saying that Tony Jones of The Athletic is lying. No, he was probably told that, and he's reporting what he was told by a trusted source. Now, do you believe that the Jazz are really torn? No. But here's what the Jazz are doing. Fine, the Wizards don't want to let us know who they're going to pick. We're just going to make everybody below confused, and then we're going to let them think that they don't know what we're going to do, and then we're going to make them want to trade with us. It's like this almost just like copycat game where it's a bunch of children sometimes, right? And again, I love that the Wizards are doing this, but it does feel almost petty at times where all of a sudden now the Jazz, after the beginning, it's been nothing but Darren Peterson and A.J. Abanza, and we all know that if the Wizards draft Darren Peterson 1, A.J. Abanza is going 2 to the Jazz. Stop pretending that you're going to pass on Abanza for Cameron Boozer. And Cameron Boozer might end up having the best career out of all these guys, but there's a lot of people shying away with the fact that he's not as athletic. Okay, he can't jump out of the gym, but stop it. Stop actually trying to convince people that they're really sitting there going, you know, I think if we had the number one pick, we might take Cameron Boozer. No, you wouldn't. They will take A.J. Abanza in Utah in 2 seconds. Now, that's why if you're the Wizards, you keep them guessing. So if you get down to the point where they're on the clock and the Jazz call you up and they say, look, we got to have Abanza. He went to BYU, the ties to the organization. Our owner helped get him there. Just please, what's it going to take for us to trade up and get, and so we can have Abanza? You can take Peterson at number two. You can take Boozer. We don't care. Please, that's what you want the Jazz thinking if you're the Wizards. But if you're the Jazz, you're just passing down the same technique, right? It's like when we have holdouts, right? Terry McLaurin's holdout last year. What was the thing I always said? I was like, this is the pattern. He doesn't actually want a trade. He requested a trade because that's the next step in the blueprint. And the operating memo that everybody gets is like, if you want to hold out, or now it's a hold in, what do you do? Well, you get mad, and then you show up, and then you stop showing up, and then you hold in, and then you request a trade, and then, you know, show that you're cool with all the fans, and then the deal gets worked out. It's the same thing here. The Jazz, oh, fine, the Wizards don't want to tell us what they're doing? Then we won't let anybody else know what we're doing. That's all this is coming down to. I mean, and again, this is good business. This is smart. But when Darren Peterson canceled his workout, he thinks he's going number one. There's a lot of other people that think there is a lot more smoke now to the fact that Darren Peterson could go number one to the Wizards. But you look at the Jazz roster and say, are you going to go with the player you think's got the most upside? Are you going to go with the guy that fits your roster right now? Because, I mean, they got Jaren Jackson Jr. They got Lauri Markkanen. These are two bigs. They're going to Bonsa number two. It's really just a matter of whether they want to Bonsa so desperately that they're willing to trade up because they really think the Wizards are going to take him. And that's why you have to do all of the things that you're doing if you're the Wizards. It's smart. And maybe this indecision does make a trade up more likely. And look, the Wizards are going to be in a good spot with Peterson or DeBonsa. They really are. If we look back after their careers are done and say, like, okay, A.J. DeBonsa was a 6-time All-Star and Darren Peterson was a 10-time All-Star and won an MVP, or the other way around, they're both likely going to have really good careers if they stay healthy. You're in a very good spot to be in right now. Which is why I say, if you get a really good trade offer to go down one spot, if you're the Wizards, and get more assets down the road and get a first-round pick later, that's not a bad thing. And remember, this front office, Michael Winger, Will Dawkins, Oklahoma City mindset, that's what the Thunder do. I mean, we sit here and talk about it like, God, the Thunder have another first-round pick. Yeah, because this is what they planned. And they got two first-round picks, and it's not even their picks. Their own first-round pick isn't even owned by them. But they have two other first-round picks, like 12. I mean, it's every year. But that takes the foresight to look down the road and go, we're also planning 5 years down the road. It's not easy, but it sets your organization up for success, where in some ways it's almost like a bonus, even though they know it's happening. It's like, oh, that's right. We got extra first-round picks this year. What do we do with that? And it doesn't always work, and sometimes you use them, package them, trade them up, get one, or, you know, you move them, get yourself a veteran or whatever, but it gives you flexibility, and that's where the Wizards are going to have to be down the road, too, is allowing themselves to have the flexibility. Because, yeah, we're looking at this as a cheap roster. It's young guys, minus Trae Young and Anthony Davis, who might not even be here. But on the other side of things, it's you have to think about who's going to potentially get a big contract extension down the road. Is it going to be Alex Saar? Is it going to be a Trey Johnson? Is it going to be a Keyshawn George? I mean, whoever. Like, could be, you know, A.J. DeBonsa, Darren Peterson. You have to also think of how we're going to protect ourselves as an organization to still have flexibility while paying our stars. Yeah, and that's, again, yeah, like, don't think where you are, think about where you want to be, right? It's like if you're building a business, you don't go, yeah, but this business is worth $10 million and we're not. Yeah, but you could if you take the right steps. You have to be thinking as though you're already in that spot, so you're planning ahead for that. It's telling you what, we could be in a spot where in a couple of years it's just like in Michael Winger and Will Dawkins we trust. We're not there yet, but we could. But I just do not believe for a second that the Jazz are genuinely torn at number two and for three guys. Stop it. You're lying. But it is lying season. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
Rodri Cucurella back door. Porzingis stayed at home, and he's going to pay the price. No! It comes off the crossbar. The follow-up is saved.
I love this start to the World Cup. We have had a lot of shockers. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Yes, we've got the NBA draft, and there's going to be all this lying, and it's fun, and we're going to sift through all those lies throughout the show for sure, but damn, the World Cup has been fun. I will say this, though, and Wes, I know you've been watching this quite a bit, and you were asking me, you're like, how much are we going to talk about today? I said, hey, temper your, hold on, little by little here, we'll sprinkle it in here, it's still early in the tournament, but So today, and this is why I think I'm done. Like, actually had a decent start to the tournament betting. I bet the under 2.5 goals on England Croatia, and it was 2-2 at halftime. It was under 2.5 goals for the game. And I knew that, and I said, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with that. So this stupid England game, that's great. It was 4-2. It was fun. A lot of scoring, all that. That's what people want. Not good for me, Wes, because it was 4-2, and the under was already dead before halftime. So that's how that went. But the highlight you played, obviously, the Spain-Cape Verde game. Like, it's a small country that most people don't know. I looked it up the other day, and it's like, what, 530,000 total people in the entire country.
Yeah, it was outside the coast of Africa.
Yeah.
It's very small. This is the first World Cup match of the history of this country, and they tie Spain, who was the favorite to win the entire thing. They actually dropped the odds on Spain because of how Cape Verde played against them.
It's what makes these types of tournaments so cool, right? Like, everybody loves March Madness. March Madness is fun because you have upsets, and then you've got the Blue Bloods, and anything can happen, and all of this. Yeah, they added more teams, but in the end, like, we're going to watch it. But this, you get that type of vibe at times too, especially early in the World Cup. Just like with anything, there's almost like that feel of, you know, the beginning of the NFL season where teams don't look sharp and they just look like they're kind of figuring things out. Still, especially offensively. And, you know, I know we joke a lot that like the first 2 weeks of the NFL season have turned into preseason, but it kind of feels that way. That's kind of how you can look at. Not the teams are approaching it this way, but that's kind of how you can look at some of these games that we've had in the World Cup so far, where it's just, there's been a lot of, now we've had all these scoreless ties, Wes. You've had games that just make absolutely no sense, including suddenly England and that defense they have. And not, you know, listen, I thought it'd be a low-scoring game, and of course it's 4-2 today. Not that anybody else cares about my bet, but I'm just saying it pissed me off. But, like, you've watched a ton of this, right? And listen, I have said is, I am LARPing, as we've talked. You weren't, wait, were you with me on Sunday? No, we never talked LARPing.
No, we were talking about LARPing.
I can't remember. I've had five different producers over the last 5 days. I've been all over the place. But, like, I am a LARPer, and I'm LARPing, and which is faking it, basically, but I'm admitting it when it comes to the World Cup. I don't watch a lot of soccer on a regular basis. I grew up playing it. I love the game. I understand the intricacies. It's just not on, like, the top of the depth chart for me. But when the World Cup hits, it's a big event. I buy in. It's fun. I love it. I will do it. This has been a great start with some of these games. And you mentioned Spain, it was at one point, I think, a co-favorite, depending on what book
France.
You were looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah, with France. Now, I mean, everything's completely changed because of it.
Today, Congo tied Portugal. Ronaldo didn't look good. He can do much against Congo. These games have been incredible. We saw France, Mbappe scoring two. Messi had a hat trick last night in Kansas City. And of course, a great game today with England. This has been a fantastic tournament. But I'm not big on soccer year round. Like, I'm obviously college football with Ohio State.
You know, I had no idea.
Yeah. Major baseball comes around, and, you know, I'm at Nats Park all the time. But I'll dabble with the Premier League. You know, I've seen Arsenal play before in London, so it's kind of my team, you know, growing up. My brother played soccer as well, so I kind of grew up a little bit with it. But when the World Cup comes around, I hope people are LARPing. Like, I want to see these bars packed.
See, that's what I've never really understood is, like, people that love a sport, right? Like, you're a diehard, whatever the sport is. But you get mad when other people helicopter in to watch your sport. It's like a weird thing. I mean, it's like people that love dubstep back in the day when that was huge. It was like, oh, I've been listening to that since it was underground. You don't even know. Like, who cares? If it's something you love, if it's a sport you love, and it's going to be more popular because, oh, there's bandwagon fans, who cares? I just, like you said, you want people to helicopter in and LARP and all that. Like, okay.
Yeah, dude. I want these bars in Navy Yard packed. I got to see it. The last USA game, I want to see it again. I'll be with you during the USA game. We'll be watching it while we work. It's going to be fun.
Wait, when is that? Which day? My schedule.
Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Oh, yeah, you're with me and Zabe on Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so Friday. We'll have that. That'll be fun. Maybe we'll yell goal when they score and get really loud. Zabe will. I know that. That's for sure. But, yeah, like, and so what was it you told me, too, about, so the goalie for Cape Verde that had that save, what happened with his social media?
Immediately after the game, he gained 2.2 million followers. And I think now he's up at 8 million followers. He had around 20,000. And all of a sudden, he has 8 million. And it's a bunch of females following him. That's the best part. What is he? And he's following some of them back.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this is his big moment.
I know.
Oh, yeah, he's a handsome dude. So, you know, he's going to get, he's getting a lot. Is he married? Do we know? Or is this like a chance for him to find his one true love? What if we have a great story?
I think this is his Love Island playing in the tournament.
Whoa, 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 Wes, this is a great idea. This is actually, with the type of stuff that's on TV now, we turn this into a show, okay? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to tape the goalie Cape Verde, and we're going to randomly, we're going to go through the 8 million followers that he had. We're going to have to use AI because it's a lot of people. We're going to have to use the algorithm so it can determine the type of interest they have, the type of, you know, everything, and we're going to match with exactly what he's looking for. We're going to find 8 women, and they're all going to go to Cape Verde. How about that? And then we're actually going to help find him a wife if he's not married. We don't even know for sure. You haven't told me this, so we're guessing.
I don't know.
He's married?
Let's just pretend for, you know, this game that we're playing that he's not married. You know, we're going to hold off on your robot football, and we're going to get this guy a wife.
Ooh, what would you rather have if we could choose one? Robot football run by all the tech billionaires that competes with the NFL so we can have heads popping off the robots, or the dating show with all of the Instagram followers that followed the Cape Verde goalie to find him a wife? You have to choose one. Which one is it?
I picked already, and you know the saying, no wife, no life, even if you're really good at soccer, so I'm going to help this guy out.
Look at that. Look at you just being a philanthropist, helping him find love, you know, just...
Hey,
doing
it, I gotta help a guy out.
I think this is a great idea. We're working this out. Yeah. So look, we're gonna have more of these stories. But you know what? That also does prove to you too. I had a friend of mine who's a huge DC United fan. I've gone to some games with him together. Again, I mean, Audi Field's amazing. DC United's fun. Like, yeah, you know, all of that's there. But obviously, the World Cup surpasses everything. But he sent me this video. Like, I didn't already know this, and he's like, you know, I know you're not as much of a soccer fan as me, but you should be. And it was a video like laying out the popularity of the World Cup around the world versus the Super Bowl. I'm like, yeah, I know this, buddy. You don't have to tell me this. It was like one of those things. Like, everybody knows that this is the biggest event in the world. Soccer is the biggest sport in the world. It's football everywhere else, but it's the most popular sport in the world. So for a guy to make one iconic save and gain 8 million followers on social media, that shows you the reach that it just one moment has in this tournament. But that's what's so cool about it. Like, even, that's what makes it so fun.
I mean, even comparing it to football, American football, stuff like, for example, Stephon Diggs, huge wide receiver, you know, big guy, you know, big personality. Everyone knows him in the NFL. He has 5 million followers. David Beckham has 80 million.
Right.
I mean, that's the difference between what soccer does and American football.
And I've seen this debate before. I do think you start to get to a point where, like, if we were to talk the biggest just stars that are involved in sports that are the most recognizable, right? We talk about, like, the face of the NBA all the time. If you were to take LeBron James and Messi, right, who would be the most recognizable around the world?
Definitely Messi.
Messi.
I mean, I'm actually looking up the followers right now. Do you want to guess LeBron's following?
25 million. Are you looking Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram.
25 million.
154.
154 million. Damn.
What's Messi's?
375 million.
508.
Damn!
I know.
Okay. And, like, obviously basketball is really popular, but it's still just not as popular around the world as soccer, and it just shows you. Now, again, Messi is the GOAT now. I mean,
yeah, hat trick yesterday. I mean, with ease.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
He's 40.
See, and this is my thing, too, and I'm glad you brought that up, because longevity in athletes today needs to be celebrated more, and it's not part of the discussion enough. And that's part of the discussion, and I hate to do this, but I'm about to stir that pot.
But, yeah.
But still, close enough. 38.
It's his last World Cup, probably.
Well, no, I mean, it is. But here's the thing. He's not going to play when he's 42. But 38 in soccer is like, most guys don't play, especially at the international level. I mean, they'll go to the MLS or maybe play. But, like, at the international level for this, it's really hard to get to that point. And he's been playing since he was, you know, early 20s when he's been playing for Argentina.
He moved from Argentina, went to Barcelona when he was 13 years old.
Yeah.
That young, they knew he was going to be legendary.
And, again, these, you know, you're soccer, if you're great at soccer, you'll play professionally at 15. Like, it's just,
yeah,
you know, it's different. But when you play into your late 30s, your early 40s in any of these sports. Baseball, a little less, but it should be celebrated. And I'm going to stir the pot with this, but when we're talking about longevity, LeBron James has played at an elite level later in his career than Michael Jordan. I know Jordan was good with the Wizards, but it wasn't LeBron and what he's been at this point.
No.
And, you know, again, there's a bunch of factors with that. But Messi is in that conversation, too. Tom Brady. And again, soccer versus quarterback standing in the pocket. Brady doesn't run around. We could debate all the little intricacies. The reality is playing an elite level in any sport, late into your 30s, into your 40s, even Aaron Rodgers should be. I know Aaron Rodgers pisses a lot of people off. I don't care. The guy's going to be 42, and he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL and had a pretty good season last year. Actually, the highest completion percentage of his career. Now, that's accuracy versus, you know, physicality. But again, like your body's not going to do the same in its 40s as it did in its 20s. Your 30s, like it all changes. We all know that. It happens to everybody. But we're now seeing more athletes play longer in their careers. And that's nutrition, that's sports science and recovery and all the stuff that we're learning. So when people bitch about like, oh, these guys and they're sitting out games, and well, we're realizing that there are some levels of recovery that do help. Now, does it go too far at times, and is there proof that it doesn't actually, and guys still missing games? I get all that. Longevity for athletes today is expanding, and seeing anybody, seeing the greats, like the ultimate greats, again, we're talking Tom Brady, we're talking Messi, we're talking LeBron, these are the greatest that we've ever seen at their position in their sport, and they're still doing it at an elite level far, far into their careers, more than we ever had before. And that's the type of thing that just is what makes it so great. And yeah, this will probably be Messi's last World Cup, but like everybody knows who he is. It's wild to think he's got 500 million followers on Instagram.
Ronaldo, I just checked, has 666.
Yeah, you look up who has, like, what athlete has the most? I know it's going to constantly change, but, like, the big numbers will stay the same. It's the little numbers on the right side.
So Ronaldo's actually 41.
He's 41?
Yeah.
Okay. And, I mean, he's a big star, obviously, too. So he's not at the same level of Messi in terms of skill, but, like, star, right? You know, there's star, and then there's Messi.
See, that's a debate for a lot of people, but yeah, oh, big time.
I'm not gonna pretend that I'm gonna be in a position enough where I can have that conversation.
I'll argue with LeBron
and Jordan all day with you, but I won't do Messi Ronaldo.
I've watched enough soccer where I understand that Messi plays in the U.S., but he dominates. The U.S. soccer is getting much better.
Yeah,
I think Messi's the GOAT of soccer.
That's how most people feel. If people throw, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo in there, again, maybe it's 1-2 at that point. Again, I'm not willing to have that argument with you.
So Ronaldo has the most followers on social media. Well, how many? I wonder how much Taylor Swift has. Let's check that out
you're talking athletes versus. I mean, Taylor Swift goes beyond. You know, she's a big Knicks fan. I don't know if you saw that.
I thought she was a Cavs fan.
Oh, that's right. She's a Cavs fan. Sometimes.
Oh,
wait,
I thought
too.
She was also an Eagles fan.
Oh, yeah. But she's a Chiefs fan, too. Don't forget.
Oh, that
There's
Chiefs
that.
Fan, too. Yeah.
Careful. The Swifties are going to get mad at us.
Great.
I dated a little. You dated a Swiftie?
Yeah, no, it was bad.
I feel like there's a story here that you need to tell me.
Yeah, off air.
Oh, it's one of those. Damn it. All right.
Ronaldo has the most followers of anyone in the world, actually.
Even more than Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Taylor Swift has 273.
That's it?
I know. I also thought that.
That's actually really surprising.
Because that's near LeBron.
Don't tell Swifties that.
Someone's coming out of their prime.
Watch out. she's falling off. She said, come on now. Taylor Swift, only 275 million followers.
You know what I find interesting in the World Cup?
What's that?
They put the other country's flag on some of these jerseys of the players. Like they put, it's so interesting. It's like they're honoring the other country that they're playing.
Wait, you mean like their opponent?
Yeah.
I've even noticed that.
Yeah, they have like the game and like the date is on their jersey.
I guess it's a, you know, sportsmanship.
It might be.
It's all about that sportsmanship.
That's
at this
FIFA,
point.
Right?
Uh-huh. Yes. Listen, FIFA cares. FIFA is not trying to, they will never price gouge fans.
They're not going to price you out.
No, never.
Especially if you're trying to get to the game in New York.
I mean, come on. Simple, transportation's easy. Oh, and don't worry. They would never have a problem with you bringing a refillable water bottle into one of these, you know, places.
Water? You don't need water. When it's 100 degrees.
Well, all right. Taylor Swift doesn't have as many followers as Cristiano Ronaldo, but Messi's the GOAT. We've established all of that now. There you go. Nick Ashew on the Fan. I mean, I'll be honest with you, this song still is a banger.
You told me you wanted some, I don't know, bangers and some hype
music.
Listen,
man, I had a long day of other, you know, I needed some energy to get through the night, get through the show. So, you know, I'll take it, a little bye, bye, bye. I mean, listen, NSYNC, come on now. You know, NSYNC is that, it was like back in the day when you were a kid. I'm older than you, so you probably were even too young to listen to NSYNC.
You're not older than me.
Yes, I'm older
than you. You're 17.
There you go. Yes, I'm 17. There you go. Yeah, it was like you didn't want to admit that you liked him. Now everybody's just like, hell yeah. It's karaoke and people are doing NSYNC. And back in the day, you're like 10, 11, 12, depending on how old you are, and NSYNC's out. And you're like, I'm again, or any age, 30, I don't know. And you're like, shh, don't tell anybody I like them. I got their CD. CDs, Wes, are these little circular things that used to have music on them. That's
what are they called?
No, CDs or CDs, I think it was pronounced. So I don't remember. What, something along those lines, yeah. Yeah, look it up. CDs is what they were called.
Yeah, I just know Spotify.
There you go. Yeah. Let me tell you about this thing called Napster at some point. That'll be fun. Illegally downloading music. Those were the days. I will say this. I'll take a quick story. A friend of mine years ago, and I saw this because I just saw this freestyle from Ludacris the other day, and he's still got it. I mean, he's still got his fastball. He's just awesome. But so it was back, you know, going back to when people actually did use Napster or LimeWire or iMesh. There's one for people if you remember that. I remember that as a little kid using that and stealing music and hoping the files were right. A buddy of mine was like on vacation with his family somewhere in Mexico. I don't know where it was. I think we were in college, and he sent a picture to us, me and, you know, a group of friends from high school, and it was him with Ludacris and a bunch of other like Ludacris's friends, whoever was there with him in Mexico. And apparently, and this is brilliant, and I will tell anybody to use this trick and it might just work. He sent a note and a drink over to Ludacris's like table or whatever it was at this resort. I don't know where they were. He sent a note over and it said, hey, I owe you a drink for all of your music that I illegally downloaded as a kid. And Ludacris loved it and invited him over and they hung out. This is a true story. And it's brilliant. It was a brilliant way to break the ice and just see. And I, to this day, I always think about that, because you could use that if you really wanted to. You could just say you were really young, Wes. I mean, I know you're 17, but
yeah,
you could do it.
You know who Loki got it?
Who?
50 Cent.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
I got to see him the other day. I was covering the United Bowl, the UFL, and he performed at halftime. I was on the field. It was great.
I saw the videos of it. He's still listen. I mean, he's doing a million other things.
Go check out the video actually. Yeah. 106.7 The Fan and the Wes Clark Show. I got to post it. It blew up a little bit.
Good plug there as well, my friend. And yeah, he's still got it. I saw your video. I was like, yeah, he's still got his fastball too. I'm not going to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy for a minute. This era of hip hop has nothing on that era of hip hop. Oh my gosh.
You big Dr. Dre guy?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh.
Big time.
Oh yeah. I mean, just, and again, there's only been a few albums from him because really he's been more of a producer. And I mean, just again, hip-hop now is just nowhere near. This is the first time in my life we've gotten to that point where it's like I've gone to like the new era of music in something, and I've gone, nope, not into it. Never before until like this.
The guys fall off nowadays.
Yeah, there's Travis, a lot more one-hit wonders.
Travis is all right, but Kid Cudi fell off.
Bit. You know what? I'm glad you mentioned Kid Cudi. Big Kid Cudi fan right here, and been a long time since we've had any Kid Cudi music.
It was that third album that came out.
Yeah.
What is that called? What was that? Those albums called?
I can't remember what they were now.
But you know what I'm talking about. Kid Cudi's music. It's like with the sad people.
I can't remember. But like, here's the one thing I will say is there's a lot more, you have more access to artists that like you don't usually, like you couldn't maybe find in the past. Like now you can. And you'll find it on Spotify.
Man on the Moon.
Algorithm's really good, or YouTube or wherever. What is it?
Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon. Yes, that was a great album. Great album. So, yeah, it's all a lot of stuff now is everybody just copies everybody else. Back then, you know, in like the 2000s, it was far more of just everybody had their own style. And it was so much better. Anyway, you've taken me on a tangent.
Well,
first time you've
been on
the show, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. One time I was told by a certain person who liked Taylor Swift that she was bigger and better than Queen. And I told her she was out of her mind. I mean,
I don't know,
she,
man. Taylor Swift is a maybe Taylor he. Swift is an I mean an icon. Some people consider her the GOAT.
I don't know, man. Queen
but
was
But like
huge.
Here's the thing with music, like it's one thing if you're going to talk about Jordan versus LeBron. Okay, it's the same sport, it's the same music and eras of music and access and now social media versus not having that, promoting social media more. I mean, like how how much you toured, how much you went, like it's just really hard to compare, you know, music from 40 years ago and big, you know, bands and artists and how successful they are to now. It's just almost impossible. And it's not even, like, it doesn't even sound the same. But in some ways, it's like comparing, you know, NBA players today versus NBA players in the 90s when the game was different, the rules were different. Oh, they don't have hand checking anymore. Okay. I mean, you know, we can play, again, it's hard, but Taylor Swift's kind of considered, like Messi's widely considered the GOAT in soccer, Wes. Taylor Swift's kind
of
considered the GOAT in music.
I'm not saying
in a
that,
lot of ways.
But to be bigger and better than Queen, and at Queen back in the 80s, and they were able to pull what they did at Wembley, imagine social media with them.
See,
and
now
they're
that,
still alive.
That's
like
a good point, because it's a lot like, okay, what would Michael Jordan's popularity have been had there been social media, like right. Michael Jordan today versus his star power in the 90s with all of the extra access that people have. It's kind of the same thing, like you said, what would Queen have been like had they had social media? It's really, I mean, again, it's a testament to like the good stuff that social media brings to the table. But yeah, that's hard to... I don't even think I could debate that. It's like when you said Cristiano Ronaldo or Messi, I'm like, most people say Messi, I'm not going to give you enough bullet points and you know, and opinions to really say which one I think is better, but I'll look at the longevity and say, that's great. So there's that.
I'm trying to look at the most attended concerts ever. I did not see Taylor Swift, which I'm kind of shocked.
You don't see?
No, I see Queen, I see U2, Roger Waters. I've been to a Roger Waters concert.
Okay.
Rolling Stones, Zach
and
the, Bryan.
But these are
there.
All like
Pink Floyd.
Like, well, okay, so give me numbers then. What are we talking in terms of capacity then? Like, if we talk about, you know, the most attended college football
500,000
game. 500,000. Like, in one show?
Yeah.
Damn.
Marco,
who was that?
Marco Prijavec. I don't know. I don't know what that is. But Paul McCartney would be the notable name that we would know.
Who, wait,
184.
Who?
Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah. Paul McCartney, you mean?
Yeah. Tina Turner, 180.
Okay.
Frank Sinatra is up there.
Where were these venues? Because I could never imagine a sporting event.
These are in Rio.
Oh, okay. What is the venue there that they would be doing it? Is it a soccer stadium?
It's got,
and then, like, outside? I'm assuming it's just a big outside sprawling field with a stage,
it
right?
It says a stadium, so it looks like it's a, it's a soccer stadium.
How do you fit that many people there?
I mean, you put people in the field, maybe?
500,000 people, Wes?
Oh, no. Oh, that's the top one.
Yeah, okay, so
where
was that?
Let's see. Looking. It's just a field.
Okay, it has to be. It just has to be an endless amount of people.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Bruce Springsteen's up there. He was in Berlin.
Yeah, all right.
So these guys are pulling numbers, wow.
Could you imagine going to a sporting event, which I guess, I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, the biggest...
Well, Ohio State has a huge stadium.
Oh God.
Fourth.
Oh,
no, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead.
732-57 Ohio State mentioned for the first time tonight by Wes Clark. There you go. Now we got it.
That's probably the biggest games I've been to. I mean, they're drawing over 104,000.
I mean,
every game.
It's a monster, you know, it's a monster stadium. I mean, I've been there before. I've seen it. Not like you, but like I know it's huge. But you're probably looking at the biggest sporting event in terms of total people for one event. It's got to be NASCAR, right?
Oh yeah, gotta be. Those are huge.
Yeah,
those are now that can get a concert up to 150, because those aren't considered stadiums. Those are what, raceways or they're not considered stadiums. But I've been to Bristol before. I went to the Major League Baseball game that they played
in person
Bristol.
Single day, Indianapolis 500, the largest single day sporting event globally. usually 300,000 to 400,000 fans.
Wow.
In the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Broadcast, you can't, yeah, I've got like in-person multi-day Tour de France holds records, drawing an estimated 12 to 15 million roadside spectators, but that's a three-week duration, so that doesn't count. So yeah, Indianapolis 500, largest single day, which was, that was my guess. So but obviously that's not,
now,
you know,
the largest attended college football game in the history. Do you know what it is? It was down in Bristol. It was Tennessee versus Virginia Tech.
And that was like in the last decade.
I'm pretty
right?
sure that was when Vic was there.
Was it Vic?
I think so. It might have been Tyrod Taylor. But one of those guys was.
I remember when they did it. I remember when they set the field up there. It was really cool looking, but I don't remember when that was.
2009? So maybe it was Taylor.
Okay. Yeah, well, that was definitely not Michael Vick then.
Because Vick was what, 05?
Yes. I know. It's like, well, this we'll is all it. Random. This was not supposed to be. We just kind of went off on a tangent here, but.
Yeah, so anyway, those are huge venues with NASCAR. It's impressive.
Right.
Have you ever
been
to a NASCAR?
No, he was 2001. Yeah, Vic was 2001. Okay. 2005. Yeah, 2001. God, that was a million years ago. Jeez. Yeah, so, okay. So, again, like, to have a massive sporting event like that, you know, like, you could probably, if you really wanted to, like, one World Cup game. Like, the World Cup, you know, championship game, if you really wanted to open that thing up, you could get half a million people to show up to it. I guarantee you. Could you do that? The Super Bowl would probably be the only one. Like, I'm trying to think of what, like, popular American sports. The NBA Finals, unless you had, like, a one-off game, still wouldn't get that. I mean, they do the national championship game in college basketball and, you know, football stadiums. But you're not getting those types of numbers. The Super Bowl would be the only one that would come close.
What does the Natty get for basketball? 70? 60?
60 or 70,000. It's, you know, think of, like, what you have the capacity for, like, a Colts game or something. You know, that's basically what you're looking at. Rough estimate, you know?
Okay.
So, yeah, I think if you right now were to open up some massive, like if they played.
I mean, they obviously can play the Super Bowl in a motor speedway.
Right, that's the thing. If you played the Super Bowl and the World Cup championship game in the same venue, you'd sell them out. You'd sell both of them out. The question would be, like, where would you max it out? Because it really just have to be, like, pricing it out. But you could get both of those to these numbers if you want, like the Indy 500.
Now, besides. Obviously, they played it out in San. They played out for San Francisco. That San Francisco was this year, but they tend to do indoor stadiums. Maybe to try to control the climate. Do that? Do you risk going out and going to Bristol for 200,000 fans, but maybe rain?
Oh, you're saying for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't want to do that. No, you wouldn't want to do it in a place that's going to be cold. There's a reason why they don't have Super Bowls at, you know. They try to keep it more, not always, but more in warm weather cities. Like, they'll never have a Super Bowl in Buffalo with that new
stadium. New England.
You can't.
Now, with the Commanders, with their
indoor
new stadium.
It's going to be a dome stadium.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're going to start seeing premier events coming to Washington, D.C.
And that's why you want that. You want to have that indoor ability, and you want to have the climate control. And it's not even just the climate control. Like, it's also having the last game and the most important game of an NFL season ruined by snow or like a blizzard, right. Out of nowhere. You have to think, like, there's always a chance of that happening in a place like DC. It's not always likely, but hell, the winter we just had, there's very much a chance for that to be the case. So it's like, you have to do what they did. I'm all for the stadiums where you can open the roof and do it, but I'm good with stadiums, NFL stadiums now being domed, or, you know, hybrid. Doing,
yeah,
both.
I'm cool with it. I'd rather have baseball stadiums open because the outdoor vibe is why.
Well, it's also summer. It's just different. You're playing, and I get it. Like, the whole concept, ask most players, football weather. It's made up by people that actually aren't out there on the field.
Hey, Big Ten weather.
Well, whatever. Same thing. It's the same idea. Again, we had multiple playoff games, including your Texans, right? They played in a crappy.
Hey, I went to one of those games.
I know you did.
It was cold, but I was having fun.
Well, you didn't have to actually play football. You could bundle up and.
Which is kind of worse, though. In some ways, the fans are worse off.
Yes and no. I mean, if you bring, look, they got like heated jackets and heated vests now. You can warm those things up, get a little whiskey in you.
Yeah.
Get you a little warmed up too. You know.
That's what I was doing.
You gotta layer up. You can't layer up. Plus, you have to be an offensive lineman that wears no sleeves. You can't do that as a fan. You're moving at least as an offensive lineman. So,
but when this stadium gets built, I mean, you got the NFL draft coming up. It's going to be big sporting events coming to D.C.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's going to – that's the whole reason. You can't build stadiums anymore in sports and not have it be a multi
event. There's no more cookie cutter.
I mean, it's not – what, you're saying the Commander Stadium?
Like, there's no more cookie cutter where you have, yeah, multi-use soccer and baseball and football like we do out in Oakland.
You have to be able to have all kinds of events, but it's not just the events. You have to have stuff around it too. You have to have businesses. You have to have like shops or restaurants or places people can go.
Oh yeah,
beforehand.
I mean that's why the Navy Yard is so great now.
Yes, yes, and you know you want to have concerts. You want to have Premier League friendlies. You want to have, you know, again, the World Cup is a World Cup venue. You'd want to do that, like big events, because these stadiums are so expensive that you have to find other ways to make the numbers actually work. And that's why the Bears are going to maybe move to Indiana, Hammond, Indiana, why the space is there, and because they're going to help it get funded, and it's you're just going to, like, oh, everybody's going to suffer, and you're just going to have to deal with it. There's Bears fans that are like, I'm never going to a game. Like, that was the risk if you were going to take the Commander Stadium from Maryland and move it to Virginia. People were used to it being in Landover. They weren't used to it being in Virginia. You move it to Virginia, you're going to have people that live in Maryland going, I ain't going. And you're also then going to maybe have younger Maryland fans. You know, not Maryland, you know, University of Maryland, but like Maryland fans of the Commanders, younger ones just go, oh, I guess I'm a Ravens fan because you're not exposed to
true.
As much. And that's why D.C. makes the most sense.
It does. I mean, you have the room with the RFK Stadium, so why not? I mean, nobody was using that. I had been. I remember being there when I was super little. I watched a D.C. United game there and Nats game.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I mean, it was terrible.
But it has history, and that's the thing. Is like
Which
stadiums
sucks,
eventually. Yeah.
Is,
I mean, listen, you, at some point, you knew it was going to be gone. It was sitting there rotting for it. It made me sad. It made me sad seeing RFK sitting there rotting. I mean, you get to a point where
but
it's
not the Astrodome. You know what I mean? It's not that iconic.
No. Well,
it's not a wonder of the world. I mean, the Astrodome was the eighth wonder of the world.
Now you're letting your Houston show.
I'm just saying, the Astrodome was the eighth wonder of the world.
Okay.
RFK,
Now, tell me more about Ohio State and how much you love them while you're at this here, all right?
I'm hoping that there's a commitment coming soon for Ohio State here in a couple days.
See, now you've just shown
you asked
completely
me
biased. Direct all of your angry tweets to Wes, not to me. I disagree with that. RFK is iconic. For the love of God, that was an insane comment. And we've derailed the entire thing, so we're just going to move on from that now. Nick Cash, well, you on the fan. No, we're done, Wes.
Okay.
You're done. You're fine. What? What do you have?
No, I was just saying, I think it was time to move on from RFK.
They weren't going to do anything else with it. It was eroding.
That's what I'm saying.
Way to go out on a limb there. There's time for them to do something with it. Yes, that was the only place that the Commander Stadium should be, period. Now, we want to talk about like the tailgating setup and some of that. I could see that probably, you know, maybe evolving.
Well,
some people have suggested the sports fields that are like across the street. I think that's a tough sell. You get rid of those for parking. People are going to be upset, but I've heard that thrown around.
In Virginia, where were they going to go? Alexandria? What? I know they pitched it, but where exactly? It was like,
I mean, there were different areas thrown around in Virginia. Alexandria, like across the bridge, maybe was one. It just, again, all of them seemed stupid. Like really, there was one over like closer to Nats Park. It was just dumb. RFK was the only spot. It was already set. It was ready to go. And it makes sense. So I know they're not going to have a metro stop there, though. Again, you could say this, though, and a lot of stuff changes.
Well, Stadium Armory.
Yeah. But they were talking about, like, another one.
Another one?
Yeah.
So we had the CEO of Metro. He got interviewed by Grant Denny, came into the office. So he said that they're actually going to remodel Stadium Armory to help the crowd.
Good. Yeah. You're gonna build up a lot in that whole area. So we'll see. All right, you've derailed the show. It's all your fault. Nick Ashew on the fan. Nick Ashew on the fan. We're talking about huge sporting events with lots of people showing up. The Knicks championship parade is expected to draw, quote, millions of fans And they're expected to have at least 10,000 NYPD officers there to help things run. I know. I'm thinking of the ratio there in millions to 10,000, and I'm just like, oh, my God. Look, good man, luck. Celebrate and have fun, but for the love of God, stop, like, destroying things. I hate seeing that. You and I talked about this, Wes, the other day.
Yeah, we did a whole hour on it.
I hate
it. Just how, like, disappointed we were, and I sent you that video after we were working, and I said, I hope this is not real, when they were beating up a guy in a wheelchair.
And I think that was real, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was. Again, you don't know what's AI at this point.
He's wearing a Spurs jersey.
Yeah. But that could also be fake, but it turns out that looks like it was real. Yeah, we don't know what to trust. I get it, and it's only going to get harder to kind of figure all this. I just, man, it ruins the whole vibe of these stories when you see fan bases just destroying things. And I get it. There's people that just go out of their way to use it as an excuse. But just don't. Don't be that guy, man. Like, it's just...
And you're a Knicks homer.
People got mad at me for admitting that, too. I'm like, I've talked about this for years. I love the Wizards, but I grew up in... No, it's fine. Again, I'm an open book. We all know that, but I talk about anything on the air. I'm fine with that. But it's like when people get mad, they're like, bah! Well, now you're a Knicks fan. Most people are just like, oh, I get it. I got a lot of tweets of that. I was like, oh, I understand. You know, like, you still love the Wizards. And I do. Look, the Wizards are my team after... I just grew up... The first team I ever rooted for, and I'm 8 years old, is the Knicks. So that's before I moved to Virginia, and I was in sixth grade. I adopted all of the D.C. teams. I'm a D.C. guy, like I always have been. But, like, listen, people have their connections to other random teams. There are a lot of people that have fandom that has to be explained a little bit, right? I have been a Redskins, Commanders fan. I don't even say football team because that is an era we like. I forget that. I just forget that name existed.
That was a blip.
It was a blip and also a terrible name. Not that Commanders is much better, but we deal with it. We deal with it at this point. But, I mean, I grew up a fan of that team. It's always been that way. It's just I loved the NBA first. Everybody knows I'm an NBA guy first. And when you live in New Jersey as a little kid and the Knicks are winning and they're in the finals, you adopt that team. But I've stuck with them. Like, I'm not a bandwagon fan of any team that I have. I've suffered through the good. I've suffered through the bad. So, yeah. You're damn straight I was happy and I celebrated. And the Wizards win a championship and Darren Peterson or A.J. Tabanza is the finals MVP. You're damn straight I'm going to celebrate that too. I've been able to cover two championship parades in D.C. in my career. And it was teams that I have been a fan of.
You
love
know,
the Caps, love the Nats. And that was it was a twofer for me.
You said that the Knicks were in the championship when you were younger?
Yeah.
It's such a big deal. Like, I got to experience Ohio State winning a national championship when I was younger. And it really does change. Because you realize, oh, this is so exciting. And then you realize that it's not all, you know, butterfly and roses.
With what, though? What
with your team, with sports.
Oh, yeah.
Like, listen. Ohio State won the Natty in 2014, and then all of a sudden they win it for 10 years.
Yeah, and then you guys wanted Ryan Day out, and then he won you a championship. So.
I didn't.
Well, are you? Yeah, you actually always were. From what
Ryan Day, these coaches don't grow on trees. That's why I thought I was ecstatic when Virginia Tech got James Franklin. I just thought, Penn State, man, I don't know about this one, Pat Kraft, whatever the AD's name is. You guys did not make a right decision on this one.
Well, it's like when Alabama fans didn't want, they would complain about Nick Saban.
Yeah, after 1 year, once he came over from LSU.
Well, there was the Dolphins stop, too. Let's remember.
That, too. But
let's remember.
Did you ever hear the story about when Nick Saban was in a gas station and... He was talking to a random guy, and the guy said, I don't know about this Saban guy. And he didn't know who it was.
Yeah, I've not heard that story.
It was after his first year. They didn't do well
in
Alabama,
funny.
And they just thought, I don't know. I don't think he's going to last long.
And the guy had no idea that it was Nick Saban he was talking to?
Yep.
Well, you know, you're an idiot. I mean, you can't, then you're not a real fan if you don't know what the head coach looks
like. I
know, like.
Come on.
You know, but no, he's even later than that. You're talking at the beginning. I mean, there were Alabama fans that wanted Nick Saban out. Later, he'd won championships, and they're like, I think he's lost his fastball. Now, Kalen DeBoer's done fine.
And then he'd win 2 years later.
Yeah, and that's
you can't win every year.
You're not, I mean, we'd love to.
Look at Duke basketball. They haven't won in years, but they're still blue blood.
Right. And really, when you think about it, John Shire was the guy that followed the guy, right, in Coach K? And it's worked out. I mean, it has. They've had a lot of success. Still love Duke or hate Duke. They've still had success under John Shire. So... Yeah, it's not easy to be the guy that follows the guy, but yeah, part of being a fan is suffering. It's just it's what you have to go through because it makes the wins that much better. Listen, even spoiled ass Boston fans up there, like, they've all at least had teams lose, right? They've had bad Bruins seasons. They're having a bad Red Sox season right now. They've, you know, the Patriots
sucked like 2 years ago.
Yeah, they did, and then they were back in the Super Bowl again. At least their coach is a fornicator, so there's that.
He's also a Buckeye, so I respect him.
He is a Buckeye. Notice how that's gotten real quiet? No one's talked about Mike Vrabel anymore, like, at all. Remember when it was the conversation of, like, he might get fired?
That's what happens when people are bored.
Well, that's a lot of what it is. And, like, people were literally saying, he might get fired for this. No, he's not. You think this is the first coach to do this? This is a cliche story. It's not right.
This is classic.
It was a bad choice by everybody involved. But, like, this whole he could get fired. He's not going to get fired. They just went to the Super Bowl. Now, if they were looking for an excuse, if they had a 4-win season, it might be an excuse to do it. And it's going to be a distraction.
Oh, yeah, that would be in it. The same thing with that the guy Sharon Moore up in the team up north. Once he had
the team up north. What team is that? Say the name.
No.
Say the name.
Once he had that incident, Michigan. See ya.
Yeah.
It was perfect for them to fire him.
I always use this as like an example. You know those old school scales? You got two sides to it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, two different. So if one side of the scale is headache, you know, a headache, whether it's drama, whether it's poor decisions, whether it's, you know, you're a diva receiver, whatever, just group it all together as like the headache, the negative that you bring to the table as a coach, as an athlete, whatever. The other side is your value to the team. Are you a Super Bowl winning head coach? Is the team winning? Are you, you know, a 1,000-yard receiver? Are you a Pro Bowl quarterback? Whatever. If the headache outweighs the talent or the benefit for the team, the headache is heavier, they're going to look for an excuse to get rid of you. But if that side of the scale that has talent, value, winning, success, and it's a lot heavier than headache, even if there's a bunch of stuff piled up on that headache side of things, if that side is heavier where the talent and the value is, they're going to find ways to keep you. And Mike Vrabel took the Patriots to the Super Bowl the first year was the head coach. Plain and simple, they ain't firing him. And it's not going to happen. And it's gotten real quiet.
A perfect example is Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, another one. Now, he got cleared of the things that, you know, the legal hurdles, whatever we want to call them, that were off the field with him. But, yeah, there's also the diva receiver aspect that's on the side that you've had to deal with too. But even that, like, it's worked for a while. When he's going to get you 1,000 yards receiving, it's going to change the dynamic a little bit. So, yeah, you had that.
I think he has another case.
You think? No, I think he's good, isn't he?
So, no, I think it's something that's come up from back in 2023.
Okay.
So I did get to meet Diggs. I got to interview him after the recent case was cleared up. But then I think something else has popped up.
Okay. Well, I've lost track. But we can Google that. There's this great machine called a Google machine. Great Tony.
World Wide Web.
World Wide Web. The interwebs, if you will. You can go to that, and you can find all that information if you can. So, yeah, Mike Vrabel's not getting fired. It's just not. You notice how it's gotten quiet? It's gotten super quiet there. All right, Nick Ashew on the Fan.